talk some more about the Masters. We are joined right now by a senior writer for GolfChannel.com. He is also Rex number 7. You can follow him on Twitter at Rex Hoggard, GC. He is a friend of the program. He is Rex Hoggard. Rex, what's going on? How are you?
November Masters. It feels just like April.
I was going to say, Rex, November Masters. There are a number of things to hit on, but first of all, set that stage for me. What is it like to be at Augusta National in November?
It's different. I mean, everyone has talked about it all week long. I was just telling someone, I walked out to 12 today and just kind of stood behind the tee, and you're getting a vantage point that, look, we never have the opportunity to get. And I've been lucky enough to play this golf course before, and I actually felt like it was cooler to be able to stand there and to watch these guys play that hole in these conditions on a fall day than it is to actually play it, because it is almost surreal. Though, I mean, it's weird. The part that throws me the most, Jim, is there aren't any ropes up like there are normally. And it's almost disconcerting because I'm so used to my life being conditioned to walk down the rope line. So it's an amazing experience.
It's got to be, I was going to say, just really surreal and really eerie. You know, it's one thing, Rex, to have Augusta National in November or the tournament in November, but what's it like not having patrons? What's that part of the experience been like?
That's been the biggest part by far, and I think players will talk about it. And I'm sure by the time we get to Sunday, it's going to be even more exaggerated because it's sort of the symphony of this tournament, right? You can tell by the cheers, not only did something good happen, but you can tell what hole it happened on and probably who did it. You know, that's how good it is to figure out. The tradition here just ranks above everything else. And it's weird, having been back on tour since June without fans, you would have thought that we sort of conditioned ourselves to the new normal. And by and large, I think the players and the rest of us have. This week just shows you how different it is. I mean, this week, more than any other event, even the U.S. Open and the PGA, which were played without fans, this week without the patrons is certainly different.
It's a great point. Rex Hoggard is joining us. He's at Augusta National. So, Rex, what about the course itself? How is the course playing today?
Tee to green, I think it's pretty much been the same of what we would find in April. It's wet. We had a lot of rain yesterday, but we get that in April. I don't think that's really that big of a deal. It's a long golf course. We all know that. You're seeing the differences, and you're seeing it a lot, actually, is you're seeing putts come up short. You're seeing guys miss on the high side. You're seeing long approach shots hit and stop. We all know that just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen in April, even if they get a lot of rain. This golf course was built to play hard and fast and bouncy, and you just can't do that. Certainly can't do it this time of year. One of my least favorite things in the world is to talk about grass growing, but it has everything to do with grass growing and just being in November versus being in April.
We're talking to Rex Hoggard. You know, he was a defending champ, but I thought that in a way, maybe this is an overstatement, but I thought in a way, because Tiger Woods had not played that much this year, Rex, and when he did play, he didn't play that well. He was almost an afterthought, and then he goes out and he has that great first round. But let me ask you this first. If we go back to earlier in the week, Tiger was coming into the tournament as the defending champ, but the focus was on Bryson and other guys. But Jack Nicklaus said that he was very emotional. I've never seen Tiger that way. That's when he hosted the Champions Dinner. What was your sense as to the kind of emotions that Tiger was feeling in the lead up to Thursday, and what do you think triggered those emotions?
I mean, even his emotions in his press conference. I mean, he actually fought back tears when he spoke to the media on Tuesday, and Tiger doesn't do that. I mean, he puts the competitive blinders on. He doesn't look back. He doesn't talk about what the greatest moments of a career is. He's just not there yet. And for him to get choked up talking about what happened seems like a lifetime ago, but it was just last year. What happened on that Sunday at Augusta to get that 15th major championship, I think it gives you a glimpse into exactly how much it meant to him. I mean, again, he doesn't talk about this. He doesn't allow himself to do this. But I think he's had time now to realize that, look, that might be it for me, and he's going to savor it. And certainly starting this week well probably gives him a lot of motivation, but you get the sense that he doesn't have anything pressing him. He doesn't feel like he's on the clock anymore, and that has everything to do with winning last year.
We're talking to Rex Hoggard. So what about, he goes out and he shoots a bogey-free 68 yesterday. As you were watching that unfold, what was your reaction? What did you think?
I mean, man, it was an easy round, too. I mean, that's what kind of threw you. And again, going back to, you pointed out, he hadn't played a lot since the restart in June. Before we went into pandemic, he'd missed a couple starts during the spring because of, you know, various aches and pains. And we all know that's an issue when it comes to Tiger Woods. So expectations were low. As you pointed out, if Tiger Woods can be under the radar, he was this week. And for him to go out and not just shoot the number, I mean, keep in mind, that is the best round he's ever shot. Ties the best round he's ever shot. And on the first day of this tournament, gives you an idea that, man, he is really comfortable because there was no stress at all. He came off the golf course. It didn't sound like he was angry. It seemed like, yep, everything is going according to plan. It was really amazing considering where he's at right now.
Like, so Rex, in your mind, how much of that is about the institutional knowledge that he has at Augusta National, and then how valuable is that to him?
I think it has to have everything to do with institutional knowledge, and he talked about it early in the week. And we see it. I mean, Bernard Langer was on the leaderboard this morning, a 60-something-year-old guy. And you only get that over decades and decades of experience. And I thought it was going to be mitigated a little bit this year for the reasons that we talked about, that the greens and around the greens, they are different just because of the time of year. But he was able to do things yesterday that, look, the younger players who have won this year, let's say Colin Morikawa, who's the PGA Championship winner this year, they just don't understand where to miss, where to make putts, where to miss drives, all of those little things that he's acquired over the years. I think it had everything to do with that.
Rex Hoggard is joining us from Augusta. So, Rex, it's only one round, and there are three more, and it's a long way to go. Does it feel like Tiger can sustain this over the next 3 days?
I would be surprised. And, I mean, full disclosure, when we did our picks at the beginning of the week, he would make the cut. I mean, you have to work really hard not to make the cut at this particular event. I just didn't see how he was going to put himself into contention. When he played in Los Angeles just a couple weeks ago, there was no aspect of his game that seemed like he was on the cusp. And that was different. I mean, you go back to 2019 and the weeks leading up, he wasn't winning, but there were signs that his game was coming around, that his swing was starting to do what he needed it to do at Augusta National. There was none of that here. And there's that factor. And then there's also the guys that he would have to beat at this point. I mean, it's the cream of the crop. It's Dustin Johnson. It's Justin Thomas. It's all of these players that are on top of their game. I just don't see how he can sustain this.
Right. So, Rex, what about Bryson? There was so much hype on him coming into the Masters. Then he had that roller coaster of a first round. What did you take away from his round?
He probably focused on the wrong stuff. And, look, I'm not one to second-guess a PGA Tour player. There's a reason why they're a PGA Tour player. But when you come into Augusta, even a November Masters, everybody knows that it is all about what you do on and around the greens, and that's where the focus is. I mean, if you sit and watch Tiger prepare for Masters Week, he's spending an amazing amount of time putting and chipping and trying to get a feel for the place. Bryson spent 3 days working on a 48-inch driver and sort of getting caught up and trying to hit the ball a long way, and he's been successful doing that this year. But at this particular test, I don't think that was the way to go. And he probably learned a very valuable lesson yesterday, that one, you can't be greedy at Augusta National. And two, it's not about what you do tee to green. It's about what you do when you get on the green.
All right, so that said, I'm still kind of fascinated by the guy and his approach and what he says and what he does. That said, do you get the sense that a number of other players are sick of hearing about and talking about Bryson?
Oh, there's eye rolls. Absolutely. There was a great moment. My colleague was out following Ryan Lavender. There was a moment on one of the tees where Bryson kind of goes into that jumping mode where it looks like he's about to go and fight a boxing match of 16 rounds. And he was playing with John Rahm, who's sort of kneeling by his bag, and he couldn't sort of choke back a smile or a laugh. It was, this is kind of silly at this point. And it works. And I am with you, Jim. I mean, Bryson is entertaining. For someone who has to write stories, I absolutely love it. But yes, there are some eye rolls when it comes to Bryson stuff.
Rex Hoggard is joining us for a few more moments. He is there at the tourney. So, Rex, what about Dustin Johnson? He finished his opening round at 7-under, then got to 10-under early in the second round. He came back a little bit. Overall, though, how does this course and these conditions fit his game?
I think it's pretty much perfect. I mean, he's the world number one, so I'm not quite sure there's too many courses that don't set up well for him. But if you look over the last couple of years, it seems like every time he got here, he was, if not the favorite, then number two on that list, simply because he does all the things you have to do well at Augusta National. He has a high draw, and he can absolutely smash it. And so I think when you look at where he was coming into this week and coming down with COVID-19 and having to miss a few weeks was actually, in a weird way, kind of good for him because it allowed him to show up this week fresh, and you can see it in his game. So I think everybody had him on top of their list for good reason.
Rex Hoggard is joining me. What about Rory? Rex, before you go, he finished off a rough first round today. He started his second round and is playing much better. How badly does he want to win this tournament, and what would that mean to him?
I mean, that gives him the career grand slam, and Rory is a history of the game. He knows this puts him in elite company. I mean, that is the best of the absolute best, and he knows what it means. That said, if he was ever going to fly under the radar, this was going to be the week, because as we just said, you had Tiger defending and Bryson doing Bryson things And so I think he was sort of relishing the moment. And I don't think he's out of it, but certainly you get the impression watching Rory at a normal week, at a normal event, where he looks relaxed and he looks confident and the swing is fluid, as opposed to here where he seems to maybe squeeze a little bit too tight, because you can want something too bad.
So what do you think the final score is going to look like on Sunday, or should I ask, what will the final score look like on Monday?
Sunday, I think we'll catch up. Actually, I think with the conditions we have, it's actually going to be fall over the next couple of days, so it's going to get cool. You're going to end up with a little bit more windy conditions. The golf course is going to dry out. That being said, I predicted at the beginning of the week that 14 under was going to win, and I thought that was a little on the low side. I could see guys even going a little bit deeper than that because the greens are soft, and they can throw darts. And when you give PGA Tour players soft greens, they can score.
He is a GolfChannel.com senior writer. He is Rex number 7. You can follow him on Twitter at RexHoggerGC, and a good, good friend of the program. Rex, great job as always. Thank you very much for making time for us, and it's always good to have you on.
Thanks, Jim. Really appreciate it.
You too. Rex, great talking to you. Rex 7, the 7th Rex in the all-time famous Jungle Rex streak.